Hey, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. I was here last night, and I start out the service by saying, usually when I show up, I'm not there to keep people awake. I'm there to wake people up. And so last night it was trying to keep people awake on a Saturday evening. So this morning I'm hoping to wake you up. But if you're like me, you won't need woke up because I've had 5 shots of espresso already this morning. So if I seem a little jittery, then you know why. But I love my shots of coffee. Amen. If you're with me, my family say they will say they can't talk to Dad until he gets coffee in his system. So that may be true just a little bit. But how many of you were here last year when I was with you? Anyone? Raise your hand. Okay, so I want to tell you this morning that I'm not going to apologize for being passionate about promoting missions. Okay? I will not apologize for being passionate about spreading the gospel, because really that's what we're called to do. That's our design as God's children, is to see to it that the gospel gets spread globally. About a month and a half ago, a little over a month ago, my family and I returned from South Africa. In the past 2 years, I've been to Nairobi, Kenya, South Africa, Vietnam, and back to South Africa. So to be able to say that I've seen missions at work is an understatement. And this morning, just so it's not weird in here, if you're new, I'm sorry. God ordained this. I did not. Okay, just know, God ordained you to be here. I did not. But to make sure it's not awkward, just know that at the end of this service, I'm going to ask you to give to missions. Okay, so it's out in the open. It's clear. Just know that that's where I'm going. You're like, oh, yeah, I knew I came to church and they always ask for money. Here's the deal. We're a blessed nation. Okay, the gospel cannot be spread unless we sow seed. Our way of sowing seed is to give so missionaries can share the gospel, because we always can't be the ones to go. Okay, I know Pastor Jamie takes teams every year, and they go do mission trips, so this church has an understanding of what that looks like. And this morning, I'm hoping to share with you that the way that we understand that we were made for more globally is sometimes by reaching into our pockets. Okay, and I've come to this understanding of knowing this, that we have more than just 2 pockets. Many of us have 4, right? So My heart and desire is to figure out a way to speak in such a way that the Holy Spirit leads you to reach into all 4 pockets this morning. You guys are like, I don't like this guy already. All right. And here's why, because I understand this. The more I travel the world, the more I understand that people live poor and without hope. A month and a half ago, my family and I were in South Africa, and let me tell you, when you think of Africa, you think hot weather, right? Okay. In South Africa, we visited the country just on the tail end of winter, which means that in the evening, it gets down to about 45 to 50 degrees in the evenings. So BGMC, and I'll explain what BGMC is in a moment. BGMC is how your kids raise money for missions. BGMC sponsored a kids camp to where I was able to take a team to Jackson's Ridge in South Africa and lead a kids camp. The kids that came onto that camp that evening, Friday night, my wife and I are walking back to where we were sleeping, and we're walking past the shower house. Okay, these kids are loud and laughing, and they're running outside in just their underwear. And as parents, you know what I'm talking about. When you see your kids running around in their underwear in the freezing cold, what's your first initial reaction? Go put some clothes on, right? It's cold outside. What are you doing? Sunday, as I sat there with the pastor from that group, the children's pastor, and we were doing a debrief, he said to me, he said, what you don't understand is for a lot of these kids, that was the first time they've ever experienced a shower. There's no doubt in my mind that that was the first time these kids experienced a hot shower. So then all of a sudden I began to realize why it was that they were outside laughing and having a good old time, because to them it was like Christmas to us. Okay, it was something brand new, some kind of unexpected thing that they experienced. And then he went on to share with me that as these kids that we saw, that BGMC sponsored to come in to have this opportunity to know who Jesus is, these kids, as they were sitting there eating the meals at Jackson's Ridge, it was the first time many of them ever held a fork. It was the first time many of these kids had three meals on a Saturday. He explained to me that these kids, when they attend a public school system in South Africa, that they get one meal every single day. And for a lot of these kids, when they go home on the weekends, they don't eat because their parents can't afford it. So they binge eat throughout the week, starve over the weekend, and go back to eat again the following week. And I can't do this thing, guys, the same anymore. Knowing that I get to see poverty and hopelessness as I travel the globe. And when I come and I speak on behalf of BGMC and Speed the Light, BGMC Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, Pastor Jody's killing it here in this church when it comes to teaching your children the importance of giving. Okay, I need you to know, like, for my heart and my passion is, we can change a generation. Okay, we've done a great job of teaching our kids how to be selfish. Well, I want my children to have what I didn't have. I've said that. I know it. I understand it. But I also know that things are a learned behavior. I learned work ethic from my dad and my grandfather. Okay, I never stopped because I watched the men in my life. They never stopped. But what would it have looked like early on in my life if my dad and my grandfather would have taught me the importance of sacrificial giving? That I was made for more. We're teaching our kids that they're made for more. BGMC provides a various list of things. Yaks, goats, chickens, cows, school buses, water wells. Okay, right now in third world countries, there's young missionaries that are being raised up to teach aquaponics. It's insane. They're going into these countries and they're teaching people how they can raise fish and then use the waste from the fish to grow plants. And then they're leaving the country and going to another one. They're teaching these people who we're saying that we truly want to make a difference, and they're teaching them to be self-dependent. Amen. Okay? We're not just building water wells. We're going into third world areas and we're teaching them how to build water wells. We're providing them with the equipment that they're able to go and do it themselves. That's what makes the way we do missions different. So it makes your investment different. When you give to BGMC, you're making a difference. Our students, teenagers, give to Speed the Light. Speed the Light provides vehicles and communication equipment for our missionaries. We're asking our students all the time, what would it look like for you to give so a missionary can have a vehicle before you have one? I don't know about you, but I wasn't handed a car when I turned 16. Okay? I had to work for it. Imagine that. Having to work for a vehicle. Okay, my first vehicle was a Toyota Celica, 1984. Okay, had like the fin on the back. My aunt drove it. It was her car. She beat the daylights out of it. It died in the first year. And then I drove a brown station wagon. Young people were like, man, I want a Mustang. Man, I had a poop mobile. Are you kidding me? Like, it's just a vehicle. But what would it look like to give in such a way to where a missionary has a vehicle so they can share the hope of Jesus with someone? That's why we do Speed the Light. So I'm saying all of that just to lead into what God has for you this morning. Because I know right now this church, you're right smack in the middle of a series called Made for More. Man, I hope you hear me this morning when I look into your eyes and you seriously know this morning that you are indeed made for more. That when you do it God's way, in God's timing, in God's plan, you'll understand more than ever that you were made for more. I'm a redneck hick from Pennsylvania. Hallelujah. Okay? I still say, are you kidding me? Like, I'm traveling and speaking on God's behalf. I'm traveling and speaking on God's behalf. Like, I was the one most unlikely ever to do public speaking in my class. God has a big sense of humor. He really does. Like, I can remember my mom telling me, you know, moms are great at telling stories. I was born with a condition known as blue baby, didn't get enough oxygen. I didn't speak till I was like 4 years of age. It's insane. My brother always did all the talking for me, and now you can't get me to shut up. Okay? God has a sense of humor. But I consider myself today to be a spiritual loop job. I do. Spiritual loopy. Okay? Let me tell you what I mean. Okay? I shared this last night. My wife's shaking her head. She wasn't here. Spiritual loopy, me. You ready? So, when I first started attending a church, I went to a full gospel church. Okay? They moved in the gifts of the Spirit, word of prophecy. And again, I'm going to apologize if by some chance my mom sees this video. Mom, forgive me. But you did this to me, so it's your fault. You know, there's a guy in the church who said he moved in the gifts of prophecy. All right? Spiritual loop job. I'm telling you, like, for me, I believe in God's gifts and abilities, but in this scenario, this wasn't thus saith the Lord, it was thus saith your mom. Because my mom would figure out, you know, that God needed to speak to me, so she would go to this guy and say to him, hey, God really needs to do this in my son's life. So he would come up to me and he would say, the Lord wants you to know. Okay? It just put a bad taste, but I know that God moves and his giftings and abilities are true and where they're done correctly, because right now I would consider myself to be spiritually loopered, the apostle by faith. I need you to hear me this morning. In God's word, the apostle Paul says these words, without faith it's impossible to please him, to please God. It doesn't say without church attendance. It doesn't say without prayer. It doesn't say without your tithe. It doesn't say without Bible study. It says without faith. And for you this morning, I need you to know that God wants you to understand that when you have incredible faith, he can do the miraculous in your life. I want to prove it to you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to open them to 1 Samuel chapter 14. That's going to be our text this morning. In this, we read about one of the greatest, to me, warriors and men of faith in God's word, Jonathan. One man who understood that he was made for more. What most remember about this man is that he befriended David and humbly acknowledged David's calling to be the next king of Israel, even though that he knew it was his right to be the next reigning prince. In 1 Samuel 14, we discover that Jonathan was an incredible soldier who possessed an amazing faith in the Lord. There came a day in his life, one historic day, when he made the decision that he knew he was made for more. Because let me give you the cliff notes. In 1 Samuel 13, what happened was his father, King Saul, decided to make war against the Philistine army. Before he ever went to the Lord and said, should I do this? He picked a fight with a far superior enemy. The Bible describes the Philistine army as being as many as the grains of sand. It far outweighed and outnumbered the Israelites. So Saul goes, he picks a fight. Okay, they end up getting destroyed. The prophet Samuel comes into the picture. He rebukes Saul and says, because you didn't seek the Lord's counsel first, the Lord's not with you. So Saul goes and takes the Israelite army and they hide out in the caves. While they're in the caves, the Philistine army raided and ransacked every village that was surrounding that area. And the Bible says that they confiscated every single weapon except for two. Two swords were left in the camp. Saul had one and Jonathan had one. Now, Jonathan, when I read God's word, I don't know about you, when I read God's word, I like to put myself in the scenario. You ever do that? Or is it just me? Okay, so as I think about this, and I'm reading 1 Samuel 14, I can imagine Jonathan sitting in the cave looking around at a bunch of dramatic people who just got their backsides handed to them by a far superior enemy because of a king's decision. Jonathan looks, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14, chapter 1, he looks at his armor bearer and says, hey, let's go check out to see what's going on with that Philistine army. Now, what's going through his mind at this moment? Everyone's laying around, they're moping, they're doing whatever they want, and he looks at this armor bearer and says, let's go check out to see what the Philistines are doing. Could it be in that moment that Jonathan understood that he was made for more? He made a decision. The first important decision he made in the scripture was he made a decision to go search for God. Listen to this. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Senna. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other toward the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul." Jonathan had a choice to make. He could stay in the cave in a defeated, depressed environment and stay discouraged with the rest of the crowd, or he could go search for God. When do you and I typically make the decision to search for God? I mean, think about that. In those moments, when do we have a desire to truly go to church? When do we make a decision, "Oh man, I really need that men's conference," right? It's in that moment to where things are going horrible in our lives. You know, what would God do? I often wonder what God would think if all of a sudden his people sought after him every single day when things were roses. No, in that moment, we want to go after God. We want to search for him when things are going bad in our lives. That's when our church attendance goes up. That's when we go for the conferences. That's when we open God's word, when we really are depressed and discouraged. But Jonathan made a decision that he wasn't going to allow the depression and the discouragement dictate to him from the fact that he needed to search for God. Experiencing God author Henry Blackaby summarizes this principle of seeking the Lord with this statement. Listen to this. You can't go with God and stay where you are. We must be willing to go, look, and search for divine activity. I love those two words, divine activity. Divine activity. What does that look like? Divine activity. For me right now, okay, Jamie shared with you, I kind of spearhead BGMC and Speedlight, but I also, okay, if you have teenagers coming to Momentum Youth Convention, okay, we put that event on. If you have students or children coming to camp in the summertime, we put that event on. So we spearhead the charge when it comes to student ministries in our state. Okay, so you kind of have an understanding. For me right now, I see divine activity happening in our students. There's divine activity happening with our students. You want me to prove it to you? Okay, let me show you some pictures this morning. This first one, okay, that's not Satan. All right, this is a picture of a Pokemon character. I have no idea. I'm just telling you what the little boy told me, okay? Now, I was in a church on a Sunday morning speaking the word of God to a group of adults, and this little boy said that he heard from the Lord, and God told him that he was to color this picture and auction it off for BGMC. Okay? I'm glad, man, my message so inspired that, hallelujah. Okay, so he colors this picture, he goes up to his lead pastor, and he says, "Hey, I'd like to auction this off for BGMC. The Lord told me to color it." So the pastor puts it on Facebook. That picture auctions off on Facebook for $278 for BGMC. $278. Okay, next picture. I walk into a church and this little girl walks up to me and she goes, "Would you like to buy one of my BGMC dolphins?" Now, I am a sucker for cute little girls selling things. Okay, like, You want to know why I have my daughters out at that table? You're going to understand why. I mean, yesterday I'm walking out of Lowe's, okay, and I was strong all week. I'm redoing my bathroom, okay, and the Boy Scouts are out there selling popcorn. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. So every single day I walk in Lowe's and it was like a bunch of older boys and I walk by, "I don't want any popcorn. I don't want," like five times I denied them. "No, I'm not buying any popcorn." Yesterday though, those evil people put this cute little, she had to be 5 years of age, and she goes, "Would you like to buy some popcorn off me?" I bought a $15 bag of popcorn. I'm not even going to eat it. Okay? My daughters look at me and said, you spent 15 bucks on popcorn? So I don't feel bad asking for money for BGMC and Speedlight, because the Boy Scouts are getting 15 bucks a bag for popcorn. She comes up to me and she says, "Would you like to buy my dolphin for BGMC?" Now, this isn't the dolphin she showed me. The dolphin she showed me was a brown dolphin. Okay, for those of you with young kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It looked like she took all of the paint, all the different colors, and she mixed them all together. Okay, it was the ugliest dolphin I've ever seen in my life. And I said, yes, sweetie, I'd like to, how much are they? She said, $2. I said, I'll take five. I went up on the platform that morning, I looked at the church, and I said, let me show you my BGMC dolphin. They're on sale right now for $2 from that young lady. That morning, that young lady walked out of the church making $150 for BGMC. Next picture. This is McKenna. She said, I want to make keychains for BGMC. I want you to get, like, God speaking to our kids. Divine activity. I want to make keychains. I bought six of them. Okay? In the bottom right-hand corner, left-hand corner for you, it's a little BGMC buddy barrel. I have that one. I bought a dragonfly up top. I bought a crocodile. I have six of them. All right? Because I believe in investing in our kids. I believe in investing in our... Next picture. Watch this. This young man says, hey, I'm going to color pictures for BGMC. I have the top left-hand corner. That's a picture of Jesus' face. He's hanging on my fridge. All right? His brothers and sisters say, hey, if he can do it, we can do it too. Next picture. So they start coloring. We have all four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle hands on our refrigerator right now. And then the little sister says, I'm going to make BGMC Faith's Rising pictures. I have one of those. It looks like BGMC art threw up on my refrigerator. Listen, parents, you ready for this? Dad got excited because of what God was doing in his kid's life. He's like, I want to invest in this thing. Because you know, if you were here last year, if you give $100 to BGMC or Speed of Light, we give you a t-shirt. It's a great deal. A $100 t-shirt. Look at Dad. He has 11 in his family. He wrote me out a check for $1,100 and said, I want to invest in my kids. We have two great opportunities right now going on within our churches. Investing in missions and investing in our children. Okay, remember, it's a learned behavior. What if our kids see us doing it first? That's what it's about. And then Speed the Light. There's a bunch of great ideas coming on right now for Speed the Light in our state. We have Smell the Light, teenagers making candles for Speed the Light. It's crazy. Okay, we have Speed the Latte going on right now. There's all kind of crazy, I can't remember it, but Suds the Light was one of my favorites. The next picture. Young lady said, hey, I'm going to sell soap for Speed the Light. $10 for 1 gallon of soap. So I call her up, beginning of June, and I said, I would like 50 gallons of your soap. She says, what? You want $500 worth of soap? Yes, I do. Okay, I'll get it to you. I have this blue soap everywhere up at the district office. Well, not as much as what I had starting out, because if you have little boys in your house, you know that it's a struggle sometimes to get them to take a bath. Now imagine having 300 little boys at kids camp who don't like taking baths. So we bought some tarps, and I took the Suds of Light, and I threw that soap all over those tarps, and we called it a slip and slide in the name of Jesus. What better way to invest in Speed the Light than to make sure that your little boys, when they come to camp, get a bath at least one day in that week? Right? Jonathan had the desire to go look for divine activity. And so do our children, in such a way that God is shown up in miraculous ways throughout the lives of our children. One in particular, her name's Emily Hardy. Watch this video.
I'm Emily Hardy. I'm 11 years old, and I go to church in Industry, Illinois. What got me really excited about raising money for BGMC this year was when Liz and Eric and their kids came to church to speak to us about what they were doing this year.
Eric had challenged the adults all to try to set a goal and try to help with BGMC and Speed the Light. And while he was challenging us, his wife Liz was challenging the kids in the kids' church. And on the way home, Emily had made the statement that she was going to do a faith promise, and she felt like God had told her that she should try to raise $1,000.
After the conversation in the car when Emily told us that she wanted to raise $1,000 for BGMC, I was definitely all behind her on that, but I was a little nervous because I wasn't sure how a then 10-year-old was going to be able to raise that amount of money, and I wanted her to do it on her own. We weren't going to just give her the money, but I knew she could do it. So we just kind of started brainstorming, and
One of the ideas was to have a yard sale and see if people from the church and family and friends would donate unwanted items that we could set up and have this just a donation-only yard sale. And through that, she raised a little over $700.
So when I started to raise money, I did a yard sale, and I did dog treats, and I made homemade ornaments for Christmas.
Emily's also been very blessed with the gift to be able to play the piano, and to pay her 50 church who approached her and knew that she was trying to raise money and offered to pay her $50 a week for each week that she would play a solo for the offertory for the church. And she done that for the entire month of May. And then she also plays the French horn, but she was really kind of bashful about that. But when the gentleman offered her $100 for a solo in that, she agreed and made an additional $100 doing that.
She easily hit her $1,000 goal way before the end of the year and decided to just keep going because why stop? And so we really, up until the very end of the year, she was raising money. I saw my faith grow throughout the year as Emily was raising money, because you know, the $1,000 I could see would be doable for a year. You know, you can work that out and divide it and it doesn't end up too bad, but the way things just kept coming, and like the money just kept coming in, and we didn't have to work really hard to come up with ideas. They just came and people offered their ideas, and here, I would pay you if you did this. So it was just really cool to see how it just kind of happened.
If I was going to tell another kid or a teenager or anybody on how to raise money or how to stay motivated, I would say just believe in yourself and get creative.
Now, you want to talk about inspiration of someone who believes they were made for more. It's Emily Hardy. Emily, we celebrated Emily this past summer at Kids Camp, because from May of 2016 to May of 2017, Emily raised $10,000 on her own for BGMC. And I believe that Emily will probably hit $10,000 this year alone for BGMC. I mean, it's crazy watching what she's doing. I got on Facebook yesterday, and she was selling baked goods and stuffed lions. I'm like, okay, go for it. But again, divine activity is happening within the lives of our students. I was at a meeting on Thursday with a group of youth pastors from the area, and one of the youth pastors shared this with me. I don't even think I shared this with my wife yet. But he had one of his students walk into his youth service on Wednesday night and hand him a check for $1,400. Okay? This was money that came to him unexpectedly from Social Security. And he said to his youth pastor, "I didn't even know it was coming. It's God, so I want to give it back to him." Now, his younger brother also got a check for $1,400, and he gave that to BGMC. How hard is it for you and I to give up a check for $1,400? And yet I'm seeing our young people do it every single week throughout our state. Like, I really, truly believe when I say divine activity is happening, like, our children are giving up their finances. Like, it's insane. This kind of stuff just doesn't happen. But when you search for divine activity and you believe that God can, He will. Maybe you and I need to live life a little more like Jonathan. Because Jonathan, in this scenario, he looks at his armor bearer and he says these words, "Perhaps the Lord will show up on our behalf." What does that also mean? Perhaps He won't. Perhaps He won't. He may or He may not. And you and I, we still need to push forward, because God is wanting us to know more now than ever that we were made for more. I came into this thing June of 2014. I still have no idea what I'm doing. Okay? No clue. Okay? But there's a barometer that we use. Pastors use it. Okay? If people are given money, they're bought in. Seriously, it's just one of those things that where your heart is, that's where you give your finances. Like, if you believe in this thing called Life Community Church, you give to it. Right? Come on. Let's be honest. So we're using that barometer with our students. In 2014, at the end of the year, BGMC given in our state was at an all-time low of $99,000. Okay? God gave me a strategy. I need you to know that God gave me a strategy January 2015 as I was on my face praying to Him, because I heard Him say, take care of my missionaries and I'll take care of you. Not your missionaries, they're not mine. God said, take care of my missionaries and I'll take care of you. So we went on the road like crazy in 2015. I spoke almost every Sunday sharing what I believe God spoke to me. God gave me an idea that if we could just get 5,000 people throughout our state to give $100, we could increase our missions given for student ministries almost $200,000 in 1 year. Okay, so we traveled, we gave t-shirts away, people gave $100, we gave them a shirt that said, I am one in 5,000. Did any of you have that shirt? Okay, a couple of you. Alright? I am one in 5,000. At the end of the year, we started the year 99,000 for BGMC and 215,000 for Speed Light. Okay, do the math. 314,000. We ended that year combined between the two, making, as a district, bringing student ministries missions to 501,000. In that moment, it was a surreal moment for me, because what God spoke to me January 2014, there was so much more to that conversation between He and I. He gave me a roadmap to follow that would be a national movement that would start through our students in our state. So in 2016, we launched the Why Not Me movement. I was here. Why can't this be the year I give? Why can't this be the year I send? But ultimately, why can't this be the year God sends me? Because what would we be doing if all we do is teach our teenagers to give their money away and not their life? Let me say, what would we be doing if all we did was teach our students to give their money away and not their lives to the Lord? So we started and we traveled and we did this whole thing again. If you give $100, we'll give you a t-shirt. And we saw our missions increase last year through our student ministries in our state nearly $300,000 in 1 year. Think about that. Nearly a $500,000 increase in just 2 years for BGMC and Speed Light. Absolutely insane. So now I continue to travel and I continue to speak because faith is rising. That's our theme. We can be one in a movement. That's what Jonathan is. He understood he was made for more. He was made to lead. And we're traveling and we're speaking. And this morning, at the end of the service, if you give $100, I have a great deal for you. I'll give you a t-shirt. It still sounds as crazy today as it did 2 years ago. But here's the great thing. Like, I've learned that sometimes in the past I haven't had everyone's size, so this year I can guarantee that I have everyone's size. Let me show you. No, this isn't it. No, you're not wearing a onesie. I will pay to make sure you don't wear one. You're like, so you're going to give me a $100 onesie? Yeah, I would. You know what kind of testimony this has opened up for me? Okay, I get all my shirts for the district made at Schwarzkopf Printing in Alton. We start out with 12 of these. I had to go back in and place an order for another 24. And they said, what are you doing with the onesies? I said, well, I'm selling them for $100 for missions. They said, you're what? And then I got to share with them about the divine activity that's happening within the hearts of our students all over the state. I mean, like, I know you have students that come to camp that come home wearing these shirts. Like, it says something when your students are giving their money away. They're sacrificing, they're working. The question is, are we willing to lead? Okay, what are we investing in? I often think with Emily Hardy, if that one man in the church building didn't step up and say to her, hey, if you would just play the piano, if you play the piano for offering, I'll give you $50 toward your BGMC goal. Is that the springboard that started her on the journey to raise $10,000? One man's investment. could it be you this morning? Because Jonathan understood the importance of searching for God. He understood the importance also of choosing his friends wisely. Okay? You have to choose your friends wisely. Like for me, I don't want people in my life that tell me this thing can't be done. I just don't. I don't need the naysayers. I need the Jamie Bridges and the Sean Williamsons that's going to say, you're a crazy nutcase, but we're with you. That's what Jonathan had. Jonathan had a choice. He could have chosen any one of those Israelites that were in the cave hiding out with his dad. But the Bible says he chose one man, and this man doesn't even get a name in God's word. Just the armor bearer. And Jonathan looks at this armor bearer and he goes, hey, listen, we're going to go, we're going to seek out the Philistines, and perhaps the Lord will show up on our behalf. And this one man looks at him and says, dude, you're a crazy nutcase, but I'm with you heart and soul. Like, what would it look like if all of a sudden, and this is what I often think about, what would it look like if all of a sudden people would look at Eric Hoffman and say, dude, you're a crazy nutcase, but we're with you heart and soul. We believe that God can, because in that moment, okay, I need to choose my friends wisely, because when God said, and he gave me the strategy and the plan, 1 in 5,000 to the why not me, to the faith is rising, next year's faith is rising, together as one, because we're trying to teach our students that you're just not one person. You were made for more. And if we would just come together and everyone do our part, then we can do the unimaginable for the kingdom of God. It's not about Speed the Light and BGMC, the programs. This is about spreading the gospel to those who don't know it. We have men and women on the field right now who desire to do it. They're looking for you and I to get behind them. And the end game for me is simple. God spoke to me January 2015, and he said in 2020, you're going to lead a movement. It's going to start with Illinois, and it's going to go throughout the nation, and it's going to be the 1 in 1 million movement. Because what can't I do for my missionaries with $100 million? Like, that number's just crazy to me, right? $100 million? Like, that's, you get to hear, this is my end game right here. Okay, for me, when I think of anything, I'm thinking, what would it look like to find 1 million people in our nation to just give $100 to BGMC and Speed Light? Well, that's impossible. Really? Because just about a month and a half ago, I watched NFL football TJ Watt. Or JJ. It was JJ Watt in Houston, in one day raised $27 million for the hurricane relief. One man, $27 million. What does it look like if we pull together a vast army of God's children from across the nation? Because I heard the Lord say, what can't I do with $100 million for my missionaries? Liz and I, we sit there and we talk to our missionaries, and I say these words to them, what would it look like if you could just dream without hindrance of finances? Like, think of what that would mean to your life. Like, finances is an issue. Just dream big. Well, now tie into that the vision and the calling of God in your life and what he has called and ordained for you to do in a third world country of sharing the gospel with those who never heard it. And now you could do whatever you want because you have the backing. Speed the Light and BGMC, here's how I can describe it to you. Okay, you give monthly to missionaries. You provide their monthly support. What your children are doing, Speed the Light and BGMC, okay, you're providing the fire truck. BGMC and Speed the Light, but we're providing the hose and the water. Okay, it's great for you to get them there, but we need our students behind this thing to equip them to have the necessary means to spread the gospel. That's why we do what we do, and that's why we need to choose the people who are going to be on our team. I want people in my life, listen to this, I need people in my life who understand that we need to build up and not tear down. I need friends who inspire courage and confidence and not inflict criticism. I want friends who encourage bold faith and not discourage taking risk. I want friends who support with heart and soul what it is that we're doing. Jay Strack offers great advice in his book Above and Beyond. He says, who you associate with is one of the few things of which you have 100% control over. Okay? It's like Facebook. Today's National Enquirer. right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you want the latest and greatest gossip, where do you go? Facebook. I choose to use that for something completely different. Like, if you want to search me, however you do it, you know, look up my name, become my friend on Facebook, all right, you'll see all I do is I promote what our students are doing throughout our state. If they come up with an idea for BGMC or Speedlight, I share it. Okay, for me, it's a promotion of God, not myself. Okay, and I love Facebook for two reasons, two buttons, the unfollow and the unfriend. I have complete control over the gossip that I choose to look at or not look at. Okay, I want people in my circle who's going to help me push forward the dreams and the goals that God has set for my life. Jonathan understood this. He searched for God. He chose his friends wisely, and he constantly strived for victory. Man, he wasn't taking defeat for an answer. Like, I need you to know that I'm not going to take defeat as a possibility of this thing because I heard from the Lord, and hearing from the Lord means it's on him, not on me. Like, I need you. But sometimes I understand this. God sometimes wants to break us down, get us to our weakest point in order to allow himself to show off through us. Let me tell you what I mean. Remember, I started by saying the Philistines ransacked every single village. Two weapons were left, two swords. Jonathan had one, and his father, King Saul, had the other. Jonathan had to climb a mountain to get to the Philistines. Think about that. When you climb a mountain, what parts of your body take the greatest strain? Right? I've never mountain climbed, but I can imagine doing pull-ups. It's your shoulders, it's your biceps, it's your forearms. And now God is making him climb this mountain to get to the top to swing a sword. I mean, men, you can think of that. Just the strain on your body, and then you got to get to the top. But God just wanted to break him down so he could show off through his weakness. He does that with us, too. For me, you want to know what the two areas to where I've learned that God likes to break me down? Let's be real. My children and my finances. For us, it's a lot of times it's our finances to where God wants to dive into to break us down because that's the driving force in our lives. It always has been for Liz and I. Okay, like I told you, the attributes I have today, the work ethic I got, but I also saw my parents, they were never givers. Like I would sit in church growing up with my grandmother on a Sunday morning and the tithe plate would go along and she would every single week, she was a faithful giver of $5. Faithful. Man, I knew that $5 bill was coming out of her purse every single week. Okay, that's not generosity, that's maintaining. What does generosity look like? Well, it looks like the student that says, hey, I have this unexpected check that came in the mail for $1,400, and I'm going to give it away. Like, it's absolutely insane to me to see what's going on within the lives of our students. But as I speak to them, and as they hear that faith is rising, they want to be a part of this victory as much as I do. Question is, do you? Are you to the point in your life to where you're willing to take a risk? Jonathan knew he was created for more, so he climbed. Peter knew that he was made for more. That's why he stepped out of the boat. Maybe for some of you this morning, God's asking you to take a step out. All right? I say this everywhere I go. If Jesus stood on this platform this morning and said, church, I want you to pull out your checkbooks. I want you to rip out a check. And I want you to sign the bottom of it, and I'll fill in the amount, would we do it? Because it's only then that we understand generosity through the Father's eyes. And I need you to hear me. Man, I wasn't always this way, guys. Okay, I live paycheck to paycheck. Sean would tell you, like, for me, I can remember doing youth ministry and Speed the Light. A great year for Speed the Light for me was $1,500. Like, it's insane. And then God just hammered me. And said, it's not about you, it's about spreading the gospel. And you get to play a part in sowing a seed in your kids' lives. And now I watch my children. I have a 17-year-old son. My daughters are up here 15 and 11. And my kids are more generous than I am. I watched my son this past summer at kids' camp. gives $700 of his paycheck to BGMC. My son. I'm sitting there like, what are you doing, boy? Don't give your money away. Like, you know, come on. Like, we're their parents. Like, we want our kids to have... But kids are spreading the gospel. And I'm believing that God, if God is calling them to go into the mission field, then God, take them. Are we to the point to where we're ready and willing to release our kids to do ministry? Because it's great. We can invest. Listen to me. We invest in our homes. We invest in our vehicles. We invest in our kids' education. We invest in the stock market. But are we investing in things that won't burn away? Are we investing in things that will be everlasting? Again, God says, hey, where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. He says, hey, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It has nothing to do with monetary needs, but everything to do with people. And until all know who Jesus is, I won't stop pushing. Because I will forever have those faces of those children in South Africa, the BGMC that this church sowed into this past year. Watch this video as we close.
Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with you.
Weekend one, and we actually did 2 weekends of camp. And it's important for me to show that to you so you know. Okay, this is just isn't something that you're given to, and you won't ever get to see what it is that that money, that sacrifice that you're making is going to. Like, I would move there tomorrow. I need you to know, like, I mean, that place, Jackson's Ridge, it has my heart, but there's so many needs just like that throughout our world that we're making our kids aware of. And here's what's going to happen. Here's what I'm certain of. Every great act of faith and risk is always tried to be outdone. Hear me when I say this. When I look at God's word, Jonathan left a cave of safety and he went and picked a fight with a far superior enemy, and God showed up on his behalf. If you read the scripture, you'll see that God used his faith to destroy the Philistine army. And many years later, there was an age gap of about 17 years, theologians believe, between Jonathan and King David. Okay? They were friends. And something within David erupted and gave him the courage to go. The Bible tells us about David that he defeated a lion and a bear. But then he went out and he defeated Goliath. What is it that gave David the faith and the audacity to think that just a boy could go out and defeat a giant? Could it be that Jonathan shared with him stories of how God showed up when he climbed that mountain? And then the next scenario is David's king, and he has a group of men. They're known as David's mighty men. And one of those men, named Benaiah, went, it says in God's word, that Benaiah killed a giant. But then he went into a pit after a lion on a snowy day. What is it that gave Benaiah the faith and the audacity to think that he could go into a pit after a lion and defeat a lion? Could it be that he heard the story of David killing the giant, who heard the story of Jonathan climbing a cliff? And for me, I want you to know that I believe that as we're teaching our students generosity and sacrifice through missions giving, 10, 15, I believe anything else, now are going to look completely different in our nation. Why should I believe anything else? I don't want to hear the words that are spoken in Judges chapter 1, that Joshua passed away and the generation after him knew not of the Lord nor of his ways. I'm done with that. I don't want to take that risk. Okay, what that means is that somewhere along the line, grandparents chose to stop telling their grandchildren the faithfulness of the Lord. Think of that. Just one generation gone. And they quickly forgot. Not on my watch. It's not going to happen. And I'm looking for you, mom, dad, grandparents. This morning is your opportunity to simply sow a seed into Speed the Light and BGMC. Speed Light, your seed this morning, let me tell you what it's going for. In 2 weeks, we have Momentum Youth Convention, and we have a goal of raising $150,000 in one offering. That $150,000 will provide for 8 different missionary vehicles. 8 different vehicles. Okay, so we'll celebrate at that event that our students came together in one offering and provided for 8 missionary needs. Okay, you give to BGMC right now in our state. We have an initiative called 31 Days to Change the World. Our students are trying to raise BGMC $100,000 in 1 month. Sounds absolutely absurd to think that just in 2014, just 3 years back, we only raised $99,000 in 1 year. But our kids are believing that God can. What would it look like if you and I led that movement from home first? That we stepped up and our kids consistently saw us being generous with our giving. So this morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team if you guys would come up. And I'm going to pray over you. And let me just give you some instructions. I know Pastor Jamie's going to give you an opportunity to give. I want to give you an opportunity. If you come to my table, my daughters will be back there. If you give in the offering or if you give at our table $100, you can give 20, you can give 25. It doesn't matter. Just the movement is if you give 100, we'll give you a t-shirt. Many of you know the routine. It's a $100 t-shirt. Great deal. It's not about the shirt at all. It's about what would it look like if we just sow seeds. Okay, so come back. We'll talk to you back at our table. Secondly, please be praying. Okay, pray for this generation of kids and youth that are on this earth right now, because everything in me believes that they are the trendsetters for what's to come. They're passionate. They're knuckleheads, but they're passionate. And if we can turn their passion and their audacity to the things of the Lord, then look out. So pray for your students and for students all over this nation, because I believe that God has called us to lead them. And pray for your church. Okay? Pray that God continues to use the leadership here to reach this community and beyond. I love it. Every time there's not many churches that we can walk into and I'd say, man, that church is full of life. I love the vibe of this place. I love that you walk in and you know the spirit of the God, the living God dwells here, because the people are here and you're happy and you're excited. But this is only the beginning. Because there shouldn't be empty chairs in this room. God's called you. You're made for more. So go be more. Invite people. This is a great place to be. So go be a part of the movement that needs to start here, flow into our state, and then throughout our nation, and ultimately reach the world. Help us spread the gospel. This morning, Lord, I come to you. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for great men of faith like Jonathan that you've given us to follow. And Lord, I pray right now, God, I've done all I can. I've spoken the word, God, with passion and truth, and now I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to those in this room. God, I pray that this morning you would speak to them on what it is that they are to sow into Speed the Light and BGMC. God, this is their moment to invest in the children of this state, and this church especially, as they invest in spreading the gospel globally. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Jamie, God, for his heart and passion to lead with character and integrity and a heart to just see the gospel go globally. And Lord, that you would allow him to have fresh vision and passion like never before. God, as he leads this congregation to the greater things of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you worship with us one last time this morning?
We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all. We give you the highest praise. You deserve it all. You deserve it all.